in a free country, Lord God, to come and worship you anytime we want. So, Father, we just thank you for coming. We thank you that you're here, and we thank you that for all that you do for us, God. We just want to just worship you, God. We just ask that we'll continue in your spirit and in your presence, Lord God, and we just be with this rest of the service in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to Potter Sands. Good to see you all here. Good to see Brother Sonny here. Praise God. Can't hear me? How about now? I'll yell in this thing. Yeah, just, I don't have too many announcements, but Travers is going under the water here today, and praise God. Stepping out in an act of obedience, making his faith known. Wow, praise God. I just thought of that verse. Now I lost it. It's in Colossians 1, 14, 15, what Travis is going to do here this morning. The Father has conveyed him out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom he has redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Thank you for baptism, Lord. That's good. Okay, is Gord here? Mr. Butterfly? There he is. And see ya. Gord's going to share with us this morning.
Butterfly. I've been a member of this community for, I don't know, 20 some odd years. I guess my voice is well heard already as it is. I had a dream this morning, and I have to follow through with what the Lord has showed me. So with no ado, I'm just going to move into it and just go from here, okay? All I know is that we're the body of Christ, and I'm so grateful for that. So thank you for being here.
All right, sure. All right. I don't know if you guys can all hear me, but maybe you can hear me better now. All right. So I took this is my logbook, and I do a lot of writing. It's pretty new. I have lots to go. But anyways, February 28, 2016, the last time I wrote in this book, my dad was still alive. By my writing, it seems I was upset or mad in my last entry. However, as I look to the date, it's been 3 months to the day that the late Gordon Butterfly Sr. passed away, this very morning. I've went through so many thoughts and emotions to the point where I don't know if I can stop. However, I do feel and know that I have to move on, because God the Father is the one I need. Gordon Butterfly Sr. was my earthly father, and he died, which was meant to be. My truth today, my Father God is eternal and is always creating. Father God is perfect. My late dad, Gordon Butterfly, was not perfect. There was imperfections in his flesh, as we all have. Until we are released from these imperfections of mortal life, to be traded for an eternal life with our God, Father, Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Until then, Gordon, I thank you for being my dad, father, teacher, mentor, confidant, friend, provider, and most importantly, my brother in Christ, Jesus. Without you teaching me about a Savior, a perfect God, I would have grown up without hope, without forgiveness, without love, without faith, of a young child's belief in their father's words. That reflected your long-standing relationship with our God, our Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, and our counselor, the Holy Spirit. Scripture states the following. In Matthew 10:37-39, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Scripture says, is the words of God. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your scriptural act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. It also says in the scripture, 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as the one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Now with that, I've had to struggle with the idea that, you know, my love, my human love is only earthly love. God's love is agape love. It's eternal. It's beyond this world. And so in that essence, I have to seek God, my Father God's love more than my earthly brother. Because he was my earthly dad, but he was a brother in Christ. And I will see him again. You know? He finished his race marked out for him. And for this, I don't like to say proud or pride or very often in my life. I really don't. But I'm really satisfied with the life my dad lived. And I'm really satisfied in those last few years of life. So with that, I'm just going to read one last thing. And I'll leave it to this wonderful day, man. I love baptism. Yes, there's going to be trumpets in heaven, man. I'm telling you right now. The Holy Spirit's here. Praise the Lord. I love baptisms. I love it. I'm telling you. I get so excited. I'm telling you. You know, when I got baptized, I said, Lord, I have no towels. And the late Miss Keekstra, she came up and gave me two. So I knew it was time for me to go. So I'm going to read this. I didn't expect this part, but it jumped off my desk. So anyways, bear with me. Tears of gratefulness. Have you ever cried because of God's goodness? Or have been grateful that he is in your life? Have you ever met him? That he's real? That you've connected with him in your soul? He is so amazing that only tears and groans from the heart can describe. You fall to your knees, wiping his feet with your tears. Every creature becomes beautiful in the eyes of your heart. Everything God created is beautiful. You start to realize that what he's done for you, who you are, and how amazing his love is. He is love. When we step back and look at all he has done for us at this moment, your spirit cries of his goodness, his love, his grace. How good is God? He gives us glimpses that bring us thirsting for more of him and less of us. He shows us humbleness, meekness, mercy, forgiveness, and peace. He opens our eyes to a new way of looking at life. For in him is life. You love everything. You love everyone and everything. You cry for others that they would have what you have now because he cared for their soul. Don't be afraid or worried. Believe, love, and let go of yourself into his hands. God is in control. He's what our heart desires. He will not hurt you. He is love. He is our thirst. He makes us jump for more of him, to go deeper and deeper with him, closer and closer, face to face, to realize his love and how much we want to love him, please him. He died for us so that we might know him. He is life. He is the one you've been looking for all your life, and he will fill the void deep down in your heart. He hears your cries and answers the desires of your heart. He is more than a dream. He is real. He is waiting patiently for each of you today to reach out and touch him. He will heal your wounds. He brings hope out of failure, light out of darkness, courage out of fear. He replaces our weaknesses with strengths, with strength by his loving grace. We become grateful to the point of relief that he sees. We appreciate him with words that cannot be uttered. We honor him, thank him, praise him, worship him, and our souls are at peace. We have made the right choice. He is the way. He is all I want. He is here, and you don't have to be afraid. He will save you. He won't reject you. He just wants you to give him what's in your heart. He has something we all want, love. He is love. He is the word words cannot describe. That's how he is. He never lets me down. He is all-knowing, all-wise, always the same, the all in all. There is none above him. He is my best friend. He is my first love, my comforter, my redeemer, my boasting. He is my dad. He is everything, and nothing exists without him. He is awesome. Sometimes there's only one way to express all of God's goodness. Tears of gratefulness. Servant of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Baptism. Your sins are gone and they're covered. saying we need to do a few things to change that. Okay, so I'm not trying to be weird here today, but one of the ways that we drive out the enemy is through song. We've already been doing that with worship. We had some wonderful worship songs. If it's okay, I'm just going to grab your guitar, Joycelyn. I don't know where Joycelyn is. Is that all right, just for a second? But before we do that, something needs to break in here, so let's just stand up and shake a few hands and welcome each other and tell people you love them and pray for them and do what you got to do. But we've got to break through there. There's a wall that needs to get broken through. How do you turn it on? I got a pick. Just how do you turn it on? Is it on? Okay. That's right.
All right. Let's just stay standing. Unless you're sunny and you can't stand, I'm just going to ask you all to stand. Let's just put our hands together.
This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made alive, 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 alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is a sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Shout it out. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. 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 I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. One more time. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Woo! Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Yeah.
I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Woo!
I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Thank you. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Every follow, every follow, thank you. does that one go? Every foe will tremble, right? Every foe will tremble at his name, right? Every foe will tremble at his name. Every foe will tremble at his name. Every foe will tremble at his name. Oh, and every foe will tremble at your name. And every foe will tremble at your name. Yeah, fear, fear will tremble at your name. Yeah, fear, fear will tremble at your name. Every foe will, cause every foe will tremble at your name. And fear will tremble at your name. And fear will tremble at your name. And fear will tremble at your name. Cause every foe will tremble at your name. And anger will tremble at your name. That's God, everybody. And anger will tremble at your name. And anger will tremble at your name. Cause every fall will tremble at your name. And addiction will tremble at your name. And addiction will tremble at your name. And addiction will tremble at your name. Cause every fall will tremble at your name. Depression and depression, it will tremble at the name of Jesus. And addiction, depression will tremble at your name. And depression will tremble at your name. Depression will tremble at your name. And every foe will tremble at your name. And every foe will tremble, Jesus, at your name. And every foe will tremble at your name. And every foe will tremble at your name. Yes, every foe will tremble at your name. 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 Lift him up. Lift him up.
All right. Maybe that was just for me, but I appreciate it. Thanks. Oh, that's good. Just, yeah, you can sit. Isn't God good? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. I know that's not how that song went at all. We just kind of made it up as we went along. It's a whole different tune than that, but it doesn't matter. You know, every foe will tremble at the name of Jesus. And like Brother Paulin preached last week, we just got to declare it, man. We just got to learn how to declare. We've got to learn how to stand in faith. We've got to learn to face the enemy and not be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of him. Why are we afraid of him? He's lost. Like, he's not just losing. He has lost, right, Don? He's lost the battle. We can look him right in the eye, and we can make that declaration, you know, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. And I'm not just saying it in a nice way. I'm saying it in a way it needs to be said. You get behind me. You get behind me. When I get in the water, That's what I'm saying. You get behind me. I've got Jesus on my side. Jesus has died for me. Amen? Awesome. We're going to look at God's Word in a minute. Just one quick other announcement. Just with the women's retreat, I said to Chris, maybe you should just say something. It'd be better if you do this. So you want to just stand up? I know that it's next week, next Sunday. I know that I'm... Go ahead. All right, so 6:30, you're meeting here Friday, and any women who want to be a part of that, there's a whole bunch that are already doing it, but if you are not and you think, hey, that would be something I'd like to do, I'd like to get to know these ladies, and I want to grow in God, you can talk to Crystal or Kathy, wave your hand, oh, here you go. So the women are meeting here 6:30, and guys, we're at the North Hill Wendy's at 7, okay? You guys got that? I'm kidding. You guys are going, really? Yeah. Amen. And there's a few others that have said the same thing. So, yeah. Thank you, Lord. I got to watch them back up here. So, don't miss out. This is a great opportunity. Let's just pray before we open God's Word. Thank you, God. I feel your presence here now just so completely. I thank you for your power. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. This time of the year, God, we think about the cross. We think about Easter and resurrection. We're so glad that you are our risen Savior, Jesus, that you're alive, that, yeah, you died. You carried our sins to the cross, but on the third day, you rose from the dead. And because of that, we can live. Because of that, we can stand before each other. We can stand before you, and we can declare that we belong to Jesus, the risen Savior. You've removed our guilt and our shame. You've removed our sin from us, and that's an amazing, wondrous thing, and we just praise you, God. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, and that it doesn't matter how we've lived. It doesn't matter what we've done. Your grace covers our sins when we repent and when we turn to you, and we're excited, Lord, about just hearing your word today. We love your word and pray today that your word will just penetrate our hearts. God, take away the stubborn hardness in our hearts today. Take away the judgment and the critical spirit that we have. And just, Lord, open us up right now. By the Spirit of God, we pray for the power of your Spirit to move among us. And let your word be your word. Let your word be truth today, God. Reaffirm in us where our standing is because of Jesus and because of the blood that you poured out. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Lots of different things I want to look at today, but just starting in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and some of these will be on the overhead, so you can just look at the screen, but we're just kind of focusing on the cross. I'm thinking a lot about this month and excited about the fact that Jesus not only died, but he rose again. Isn't that good? I mean, if he only died, think about this. If Jesus only died and if he only suffered and that was the end of it and he's still in the grave, we have no hope. Amen? You with me here? Just nod your head so I know you're awake. Good. We have no hope. If he's only dead, there is still shame and there's still guilt and there's still the burden of sin that's on us. But Jesus is alive, and I just want to proclaim that today. And because of that, I'm going to proclaim upon you today and upon me today that there is no shame and there's no guilt because he's covered all of that for us. And that's good, 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 good news. So here's what Romans 10 says. Here's what Paul writes to the Romans in verse 9 of Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might be saved. Not if you're, you know, doing good, you'll be saved. No. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Amen? I love those words. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And if you've been here the last number of weeks, you know that's kind of where my heart is, and it's what God's been saying to me. You know, that the shame, he takes shame away. Thank God he does, that he's done it. The Father's done this through his Son, Jesus. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Last time we looked at that one verse from the Psalm, I think it was Psalm 116. But, you know, those who look to him, remember you said this with me? Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Our faces are covered with peace. Not shame. Our faces are covered with joy, right? Because I got the joy of the Lord, right? Because Jesus has taken the shame away. Hallelujah. All right. The passage now, based, you know, again, that's Romans chapter 10. In the Old Testament, I'm not going to tell you where we're reading yet. I will in a minute. I want to look at a story in the Old Testament. I want you to hear the first part of it before we actually read it. I'll read a couple verses. And Don, I need your help today. And the reason why I need your help is Don often, you'll agree with me here, but you'll often say to me, he loves it when I use some kind of an example. He says, I like it when you preach and there's some kind of an illustration, right? And act it out. So you're going to help me, okay? Not yet. And you don't get to talk, okay? But you are going to help me out in just a few minutes. But let me read. And I promise you, I hear something I can promise you today. If Don actually does what I'm going to ask him to do, you're going to remember this sermon for the rest of your life. No pressure. Okay, so I'm going to read. I'm not going to tell you where. It's just the first part of the story, and then we're going to get to Don, and then I'll get to the rest of the story. And it's a story about what happened. It was during the time of King David. So this is about 1,000 years before Jesus even came. And it's a story about David, who's the king of Israel, showing kindness to a guy named King Hunan. I know you don't know the story, or maybe you're not real familiar with it, who was the king of the Ammonites. And his father had died, and David thinks to himself, you know what, I'm just going to do something nice. I want to be kind to King Hunan, the king of the Ammonites, and I want to send my condolences for his father's death. Just let me read those words. So in the course of time, the king of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun succeeded him as king. David thought, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent a delegation to express his sympathy to Hanun concerning his father. You following me? Now here's what happens. When David's men came to the land of the Ammonites, the Ammonite nobles said to Hanun, their lord, do you think David is honoring your father by sending men to you to express sympathy? Hasn't David sent them to you to explore the city and to spy it out instead and to overthrow it? We're just going to stop there. So you understand what's happening is David wants to show his kindness and he wants to express his sympathy and his condolences to this King Hanun, because his dad has died, the king had died. And the first thing that, you know, I think God's word says to us, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been there before, but have you ever had that in your life? You ever experienced this before where you just want to do something nice for somebody? You just want to express some kindness for someone? Maybe you're showing some generosity, or you're just kind of going, you know, beyond and above and beyond the call of duty, and it just totally backfires for you. Have you ever had that before? Because I sure have. Right? I mean, isn't it astounding when that happens? All you wanted to do, the only thing you really wanted to do is just show kindness. I just wanted to help this person. I just wanted to bless this individual or do something extra for them. And bam, it just went backwards. It was not received with gratitude. It just went absolutely sideways. Everything was wrong about it. It was not received at all. In fact, it just came back smack in your face. You ever have that before? Because you know what? I think that's happened to a lot of us. And it's astounding. The reason why it's astounding is because you think, man, I have just great motives here. My attitude is good. All I want to do is help this person. And it just didn't work at all. Why? I mean, I get it when I do something bad to somebody or I show unkindness to them. I understand when that's not received. But I don't understand it when I'm generous to somebody or I'm really trying to help somebody or I go above what normally would, I don't understand it when that comes back to me and it comes back and it stinks and there's a stench to it. But that happens. And if you're going to show the love of Christ, if you're going to show the kindness of Jesus, you'll find out, because I found this out many times in my life, you'll find out that it just doesn't all come back to you like you think it's going to come back. And that sometimes you receive from people things that you never expected. You'll get meanness. You'll get people criticizing you. You'll get people judging you. And there's no reason for it whatsoever because your motive and your heart was just all you wanted to do is help them. That's all you wanted to do. But that's what love is. And the love is that we do the very same thing that Jesus did, is that we just keep loving, we keep showing kindness, we keep including, we keep trying to care for people who are sometimes really hard to care for. And it doesn't matter, and here's the hard thing, but it doesn't matter what the response is because you're not doing it for that person and you're not doing it for your own heart, you're doing it for Jesus. Amen? That's what the love is. The love is we do this not so that we get credit for it, not so that we get extra marks in heaven. We do it because this is what Jesus would have us do, and it doesn't matter what the response of that person was. Now, the interesting thing, and we're getting to you, Don, don't leave. The interesting thing in this story is that the reason why the king of the Ammonites, why he gets suspicious and he doesn't trust these people who've come to bring the condolences of King David, the reason why is because his nobles around him, you know, they put their arm around him and they go, hey, do you think that David, King David, is really sending these people, you know, to send their condolences? Or do you think that maybe he's sending these men, these soldiers, because he wants to spy our country? And that makes the king start to scratch his head and he goes, well, that kind of does make sense, you know. Maybe these guys aren't coming to, you know, embrace me and to tell me, you know, that they're sorry that my dad died. He starts, and here's, I think, a really important lesson. He listens to the nobles. He listens to the voices of the people who are around him. And because he does that, he changes his mind and he gets suspicious and he becomes filled with fear, doesn't he? And so he thinks there's something really sneaky going on here when there was nothing sneaky at all happening here. David's heart was pure. He just wanted to show kindness. He just wanted to show that he was sorry that the old king had died. But the point is, we need to really be careful about who we're listening to. And it's something that God's really been impressing on me, but you know, who are you listening to? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are the voices that you're allowing to speak into your life? Because sometimes we're allowing all kinds of people to speak into our lives that should have no reason, no right to speak into our lives. They're not helping us. Some of your friends, here's revelation for you today. Some of your friends aren't your friends. They're not your friends. They act like they're your friends. They're not really your friends. There's a whole lot of people out there that just want to take advantage of you, and they want to speak into your life things that are not true. And that there's a real responsibility, something that we don't talk about very much, about how we need to be careful about who we hang out with, and we need to be careful that we surround ourselves with really, truly godly women and men in our lives. Can you clap about that? You agree with that? And that sometimes, here, notice this, that you know, King Hanun, the people who gave him all the bad advice, they were close to him. They weren't just people that were far off, you know, that he barely knew. He knew. These were his advisors. Who are your advisors? Because one of the things we need to be careful about is that sometimes we have advisors in our lives, people that we've given the right to speak into our lives, people who we've given our ear to, and we've said, okay, I want to know what your opinion is. They should not be in that place because they are not godly because they're really not seekers. They're not really seekers of the truth. And you might say, well, you don't know these people. Like, these are good friends of mine, and they go to church, and they know the Bible. Well, I should listen to these people. But I want to tell you today that you don't need people giving you advice who go to church. You need people giving you advice and giving you good, godly counsel who are Christ followers and who are Jesus lovers, not just church goers. Amen? And just going to church doesn't mean, you know, you sit next to someone in church and you think, well, there's someone, she sits in church next to me, she's got to be telling me the truth. Not necessarily. I'm not really pointing to you, you know. But you know what I mean? Like, we need to be more discerning about these things. And sometimes our ear is being, we're allowing our ear, someone to speak into our ear, someone who's judgmental, or someone who's religious, or someone who won't forgive. Man, if that's happening, you know, a red flag should go up and go, you know, there's no forgiveness, there's just slander here, there's just anger in this person, and I'm listening to this person, and I'm allowing this person to give me godly counsel. This is not godly counsel. It's more important. In fact, it's the only thing important, is that the person or the people that we're listening to are absolute lovers of Jesus Christ. You agree with that? All right. So, the problem here was that this new king, Hanun, he was listening to the wrong people. And he listened, and what came out of that was fear and suspicion, right? Fear and suspicion. And so, instead of receiving the words from King David and the consolation and the sympathy that he wanted to extend, I want to now read how he responds. And here's where you come in, Don. Here's the response. Here's the response to these spies who have come in. And I'm reading now from 2 Samuel 10. Don, I want you to come on up here and stand right here. Right here, Don. So this is our visible and demonstrative example here today. Just hold that, will you? Because I'm going to read the words, okay? Here we go. So I'll read back again. David's men came into the land of the Ammonites, and the Ammonite nobles said to Hanun their lord, "Do you think David is honoring your father by sending men to you to express sympathy? Hasn't David sent them to you to explore the city and spy it out and overthrow it?" Here we go down. So Hanun, the king, seized David's men, shaved off half of each man's beard, cut off their garments in the middle at the buttocks. And he sent them away. All right. You following the story? Yeah. Okay. So what the king does is he says, he's going to shame. He shames all these fighting men. And he cuts off half of the beard. We'll get to that in a minute. And then... In a way, so that everyone in the world is always going to remember this story. I don't know why we don't remember this story. He sends his men with a pair of scissors and cuts around the buttocks of these warriors so that they are literally embarrassed. Literally, their butts are hanging out of their pants and their beards are half shaven off and they are completely ashamed. You getting that? Do you want to do this or should we just say that we kind of did it? Yeah, because you know what? I got to tell you something. And this is not just true for you. It's true for all of us. But when we cut out the backside of our pants, it is not a real pretty thing to see. Is it? No. You can sit down. It's not all that pretty. Yeah, he needs a hand. The whole intention, you get it? The whole reason why he did that, he wanted to put these soldiers to shame. And that's exactly what happened. They're walking around and they're covering up like this and they're so ashamed because their beard, half their beard has been shaved off. And what we may not understand is that was an incredibly shameful thing for an Israeli man, a man in that generation, you know, how many thousands of years ago to go through. In fact, it would have been worse for them to be beaten, to get 40 lashes It was worse than being treated like a slave when they cut off half of your beard. And it was a real reproach and disgrace. They were so self-conscious of the fact that their beards were half shaven off. Maybe we don't get that in this culture, but in that culture, that was a huge deal. And they were completely embarrassed, humiliated. You understand that word? They were completely humiliated because of what their enemies did to them. And they were ashamed and they didn't even know how to move forward or how to live. And now let me read what happened. So then David was told about this, and he sent messengers to meet the men, for they were greatly humiliated. And the king said, "Stay in Jericho until your beards have grown back, and then come back." Stay in Jericho. By the way, Jericho was still a city with the walls broken down. People weren't living there. They got to Jericho so they could just kind of hide and just hunker down. You know, we're just going to wait here. We don't want to see anybody. Remember, Jericho had been, the walls had been knocked down. And when the Ammonites realized that they had become a stench in David's nostrils, they hired 20,000 Aramean foot soldiers from Beth Rehob and Zobah, as well as the king of Maacah, with 1,000 men and also 12,000 men from Tob. In other words, they hired 33,000 other professional warriors, okay? They knew they were in trouble. They were a stench in the nose of David and of God. So they hired a bunch of mercenary soldiers. And on hearing this, David sent Joab, who was the commander of his army, out with his entire army. I don't know if we can get this on the screen or not now. And the Ammonites came out and they drew up in battle formation at the entrance to the city gate, while the Arameans of Zobah and Rehob and the men of Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the open country. And here's what happened. Joab saw that there were battle lines in front of him and behind him, and so he selected some of the best troops in Israel and deployed them against the Arameans. He put the rest of the men under the command of Abishai, his brother, and he deployed them against the Ammonites. And Joab said, "If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you are to come to my rescue. But if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will rescue you. Be strong, and let us fight bravely for the people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord will do what is good in his sight." And then Joab and the troops with him advanced to fight the Arameans, and they fled before him. And when the Ammonites saw that the Arameans were fleeing, they fled before Abishai, and they went inside the city. So Joab returned from fighting the Ammonites and came to Jerusalem. And then later on, just at the very end of chapter 10, it says, "And so the Arameans," this is after they're all defeated, "the Arameans were afraid to help the Ammonites anymore." I bet they were, because they got routed. They got defeated, right? So are you understanding this? Can you follow what's happening here? That David sent some of his soldiers to bring sympathy because of the death of Hanan's father, and instead they shaved off half the beard and, you know, cut the buttocks out of the pants or whatever they were wearing, and absolutely shamed their enemies, which is exactly what our enemy does, right? I mean, this is exactly the mode of operation of Satan. He just wants us to live in shame. And there are so many people, so many Christians, so many people who know the Bible and who would say, "Yeah, I'm washed in the blood," and they go to church, but they're still living with that heavy cloak of shame in their lives. They can't get past whatever it is they've done or whatever it is that was done to them. And it's as if they're still walking around with their buttocks hanging out, you know, or with half of their beard being shaved off. And that is the work of the enemy. Do you get that? That's how Satan works. He wants you to live in shame. He wants you to think that there's no value to you. He wants you to think that you're still that old Lynn, you know, or I'm still that old Stan, and that you still deserve the shame and the disgrace and the reproach. It's all on you. It's all what you deserve. When Jesus says something completely and entirely different than that, right? He says, and we read it in Romans 10, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? Anyone. And the faces of those who call on the Lord will know no shame anymore. And like I said a couple weeks ago, yeah, that's good. Man, it's just time that we stop looking at our feet and stop looking back over the things that we've done wrong. Like Gordon said just so rightly earlier, we've all made mistakes. We're all sinners. His dad was a sinner. Gord's a sinner. Every one of us can talk about that forever and ever. All the things, all the ways that we've fallen short. The Bible says very clearly, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We can spend our whole lives looking in the rearview mirror at the stuff that we regret. Or we can look forward and say, I am no longer a slave to fear. Amen? No longer. I'm not looking back anymore because I don't need to. Because I have Jesus in my life. Because Jesus has covered my sins. I don't bear that shame anymore. The Bible says that Jesus went to the cross and he scorned the shame of the cross. Literally what he did is he thumbed his nose at it. He thumbed his nose at the scorn of the cross and he gave up his life so that he could take the shame that really belongs to me. Right, Rick? He scorned its shame. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, so that I could live free. Man, let's live free. Let's live free. Let's stop looking back, right? Let's start looking forward. What's God going to do? What's God going to do? What's he already done? Yeah, and you know, I really believe that the little passage that we read here gives us such an example of how he wants us to move forward as a church or as the church. He says four things. I'll just do them real quickly here. But there's four things that we could really note here and benefit from. And the first thing is that it says that on hearing this, David sent Joab out with the entire army. Stop. Write that one down. He sends out the entire army. Everyone go. Not just part of you. Not just you two. Right? Everyone goes. The whole army is gone. We need to be an entire unit, an entire army of God under the blood and of Jesus and under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the entire army. Everyone goes. No one stays seated. Everyone is marching to war. You got it? That's a good way to look at how we need to be and what God will want from us. He says, you're going up against the enemy. He shamed you. Right? He's left you in disgrace. Well, then we're all going. We need every single one. Everyone has a gift. One person's playing the trumpet. Another person's carrying the flag. There's a whole bunch with swords and spears. And some of us have the arrows. Everyone goes. The entire army goes. Got it? And that's an important thing because in my estimation, there's still some people just sitting down and they're going, yeah, I like it here. Nice place. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to get too involved. I want to just be kind of inconspicuous. I hope they don't put a name tag on me. All right? I'll let the other people go. I'll let everyone else do stuff and get involved and go up against the enemy. But I just came here to get warm and I just came here to hear something that hopefully will be encouraging, but I don't want to go out with the army. We need you. That's really the best thing I can say. We need every single person. God requires that every one of us is a part of that army. Every single one. Everyone plays a role. He sends out his entire army against the enemy. The second thing is, it says that, verse 11, and Job said, if the Arameans are too strong for me, then you're to come to my rescue, but if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will come to rescue you. Isn't that great? There's sometimes in the fight, boy, I tell you, Crystal would agree with me, we've experienced this a lot, but there's sometimes in the fight where you don't feel strong anymore, where you feel beaten up, where you feel exposed, and you feel like, I can't even breathe sometimes. But there have been times in our lives where there's been others who've breathed for us. There's been others who've prayed for us. There's others who have been strong when we're weak. And that's what the model is here, where Joab is saying, if we start to lose to the Ammonites and you're beating the Arameans, then you come and help us. And if we're stronger and you need our help, we'll turn around, we'll come and give you a hand. Isn't that what the church should be like? Right? I mean, there's some people who are weak and they can't even do anything. They can't even pray for themselves sometimes. We need to be worrying in prayer for them. We need to hold them up. If we're strong, then there's someone else who needs that strength that God's given you, because it's not your strength. It's strength that comes to you from God. Right? That's how the army fights, is we're not just engaged in our own little battle, but we're looking what's going on in Luke's life and in Ricky's life and in other people's life, like our brother here. You've had some struggles lately, right?
Yeah.
Health ones, right? Yeah. We battle for you. We pray for you. What's your name again?
Norbert,
I remember that. So, you know what? I'm just going to do it. Be serious about this and pray. How are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah? You were in Calgary for a while, if you're the right Norbert, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so God, we're going to battle right now for Norbert. And I didn't plan on this, God, but I just feel this. I feel you wanting us to do that. So we join around Norbert, and I thank you that he's here, and I know that he's struggling with his health, but God, in his weakness, your strength is shown. You make it evident. And I just pray for Norbert, God. I pray for his healing. I pray for your healing power. And Lord, I thank you that he's a man of faith. And I thank you, God, that you have allowed him to be here this morning. He's not in the hospital. And we just continue to lift him up, God. I pray for healing right now, Lord, that there would be the healing power of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we just declare that healing. In the name of Jesus, we pray that this cancer or whatever, is it cancer? It is cancer. That this cancer would be removed in the name of Jesus, that this man would be able to live the life that you want him to live, that he would live the years that you have ordained for him. And God, there's still so much that Norbert needs to do, that you have a plan for him, you have gifts. He's a soldier in your army. So God, extend his life. Extend his life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope that's okay. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Okay, I got to move on. That's the second one. I think you got it right. The second one is we got to be strong for each other. We got to look at how the battle's going over here, not just at the battle I'm involved in, and that we work together. The third thing is real simple. When he says, "Be strong and let us fight bravely," man, that's a word for the church today. Be strong, fight bravely. At the end of our lives, the only thing that really matters is whether we've done that. Have we been strong and have we fought bravely? That's about faith. I believe that he's talking about faith. Have you fought bravely? It isn't about how many people you saved or how big your church got to. It isn't about all the things that you've accomplished. It's really only about one thing. Did you serve Christ bravely with courage? Not worrying about the results, not worrying about whatever things you did or all the things that you do or don't do. It's, were you faithful with a brave heart? Saying, I am yours. Jesus, I'm yours. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to do it because I love you, and I'm not going to be afraid. That's a message for the church today. I am going to be brave. You make me brave. You make me brave, right? At the end of it, at the end of our lives, that's the indicator of the faith that we had in Jesus, that we weren't afraid, that we were willing to do what he asked us to do, regardless of what the outcome was. And that's the fourth thing. The fourth thing is, he says, be brave, for the Lord will do what is good in his sight. The Lord will do what is good. Do you believe that? The Lord's going to do what's good in his sight. Right? God, I got to tell you, if you don't know this yet, and I think most of you do, God's in control. He is so in control. God is so powerful. And we can sit here and we can have our knees shaking. We can go, oh, woe is us and woe is me. Things aren't going to work out the way I think. I lost my job. And we have 100 reasons why not to trust God. But Joab and the Word of God in Samuel makes it really clear to us today that God's in control. He's in control of your life. He's in control of my life. And he has not forgotten us. Amen? Whatever happens is going to be within the will of God. His will be done. Right? His will be done. He's a good God. Trust him. Amen? Just trust him. That's a message from the King. That's a message for his church today. Just be brave and be strong and fight together. And everyone, the entire army, gear up. Gear up. Amen? Okay, so before we get to baptism, there's one last thing I want to just say. And there's just one other thing in this story that I think bears a little highlighting. And that is that in the gracious compassion and the gentleness of King David, he says to those men who were shamed, you heard it, he says, you guys just wait in Jericho. He understood that there was a great embarrassment, there was great humiliation because of the things that had happened to those men. And so David says, you guys just wait there until you're ready, until the shame has grown back, you know, or the unshame or whatever the word is, right? You're no longer embarrassed by that. And so that's what they did. Those men who came to bring the sympathy and the condolences to the king of the Ammonites, they just waited in Jericho, and they waited in Jericho, and they waited in Jericho until their beards grew back. And I'm guessing that while they were waiting, they sewed some patches, you know, so that they could move on, so they could actually move from Jericho and get back into battle. And I just want to say two quick things about this. The first is just simply that sometimes we need to let people wait. We need to give some people time, especially people who are just coming to the Lord, or maybe they're just starting to come to church, or they're just starting to get their lives turned around. They need some time to just heal. You understand what I'm saying? You following this? They need some time to recover, and it's okay to do that. You know, and some of you are here today, I'm talking exactly about you guys. You need some time to recover. You need some time to just sit and to let the shame, whatever it is, let whatever it is you've struggled with, whatever the hard things that have been in your life, let that stuff go away and just sit. It's okay to sit sometimes. It's all right to be patient and to just wait for the full healing to come. And that's exactly what happened. But, and here's the second thing. I don't mean the but as a pun. But somewhere along the way, every one of us needs to sew a patch over our ass and move forward. And excuse me if you think that's rude, but it's what the story really says. It's what it's really about. Somewhere along the way, somewhere along the line, you need to get up out of that place of shame. Among the rocks of the walls of Jericho, you need to get up and go, okay, now I'm ready to get involved in the army. I'm ready to take up my sword again. I'm ready to do whatever you call me to do. Literally, in the Hebrew language, it says wait for your beards to grow. The literal word is wait for your beards to bud. And I don't know about you, but my beard buds a lot quicker than I like it to. So this is not about waiting for months and months and months. You know, you get this picture of these Israeli soldiers and their beards are down to here and they're going, it's not long enough yet. I'll get up and get out of here when it's long enough. Right? Yeah. That's not what it's about. When your beards are budding, when you're starting to get that growth again on your face, it's time to pick up the sword and to follow Jesus Christ. And I just challenge you today, because there's some of you, and I understand this completely, there's some of us who we're just still sitting in that ash heap. We're still thinking, you know, that we're covered with shame. We're still thinking, oh, my beard isn't—it's not good enough. It doesn't look acceptable. We're heaped upon us is all this humiliation that is not ours. You understand? It's not yours. Jesus Christ scorned the shame on the cross. Isaiah 25, you got that? I'm going to end on this note, but I love this. Jesus Christ scorned the shame, so you don't need to be embarrassed anymore. You don't need to be humiliated anymore. The shame is not yours. You understand this? Everyone understanding this? Here it goes. That the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations, he's talking about Jesus, will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. and he will remove the disgrace from his people, from all of the earth. The Lord has spoken. Can you say amen? Let's bow our heads. So God, you are so good. I thank you that everything you do is about redeeming us. You redeem us from our past. You redeem us from the things that have defeated us. You redeem us from enemies who humiliate us. You redeem us from shame that is not ours. And for all of that, we just lift up our hands to you and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood on the cross was enough. That it's got nothing to do with how good we can do or how hard we fight or how much we do for you. But we're not defined by any of those things. We're defined solely by the blood that you poured out for us. So I thank you, Lord, and I praise you and ask God that today as we witness this baptism that we'll celebrate newness of life and the reminder that you call us to come to you. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Someone handed me this. Who handed me this? They want us to sing, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph when we're done. And we'll try to do that. I don't even know if I know all the words of that, but clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise him, praise him. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. I guess we do know it. Woo, yeah. Travers, you want to come up? And is there anyone else who wants to get baptized today? Anyone else want to get baptized? Well, then we baptize Travers. Never good.
Okay, let's do that again. I think we're gonna, you know, we gotta get ready for this. Clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise him, praise him, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Okay, now clap. Woo! Give him a shout. Give him a shout. All right. Paula. Give Paula a big encouraging hand. All right. I'm going to start. Why don't you stand here, Paul? Travers, you've indicated you want to get baptized, and you understand that this means that the old Travers is getting buried in there, and there's a new, brand new man coming out, and that Jesus loves you. You know that, right? He loves you so much. And I want you to look at my eyes. He loves you, and he wants you to know that you are his son, and he's got great plans for you. He's got a great plan for you. Is there anything you want to share with us today?
Amen. Chickadees.
I'm not sure we understand that.
Nah. No.
It's okay. You know God's wanting you to do this. Right?
Well, I just thank the Lord for everything, and amen.
Yeah. All right. Praise God. And Paula, you want to just share a little bit?
I'm thankful that I got back on the right path and that I'm sober and clean for over a year. Yeah. And I'm just grateful for all the changes that the Lord has made in me.
Amen. Yeah, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. There's more coming. Maybe not. Anyone else want to get baptized? I don't want to rush through this. I really believe that when John the Baptist was baptizing people, there's probably all kinds of people that on that moment were convicted by the Holy Spirit and they knew they needed to be baptized. So is there anyone else here? You're knowing God's calling you. You're knowing God's saying it's time for a change. It's time for something new in your life. Anyone else? Oh, man. Okay.
Well, the two is great. I think this is awesome. We're going to, you and I will get in the water first with Doug, and then maybe you can join us, okay? You want to hold that?
Yeah, you know what? I'd like all the rest of you to get out of your seats. It's time to get out of your seat and come to the front. Come around here. The whole army. Hey, Jesus, come on up, guys. We're all one big family. You got to see this. You got to see this. You got to witness it. Part of it is because we're witnesses, is that we hold each other accountable. We encourage each other. Down the road, we say, you know what? I was there at your baptism. I heard your testimony. I saw that you were in the water, and I saw that you were raised to new life. Yeah. I saw that at Gord's, and I saw that how many of you, you know? Yeah. Lots of you. And that's exciting. That's encouraging. The Bible says that if we repent and if we baptized, we're saved. Right? Repent. Amen. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you are saved. Trevor, do you love Jesus with all your heart? What's your full name? Travers, David, Battle, I baptize you in the name of the Father.
Whoa. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just want to pray for Travers, Lord God, this young man, Lord God, that has just died. Actually, we just saw his death. Now we see his resurrection, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. God, we just pray for this young man, Lord God, that he will rise up to become the man of God that he is, Lord God, that no power in hell will be able to stop him in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. We just pray that over our brother, that he'll just walk with you. Hallelujah. From this day forth, with a victory, with a leap in his step, we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. Yes, come. Yeah, we're going to pray. Come, Victoria. We're going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, you go ahead, Victoria. You got it. And anybody who speaks in tongues, and in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the Holy Spirit. More of you, Jesus. More info of you. More increase of you and him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. More of your Holy Spirit. Name your more of your Holy Spirit. More of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anything that is trying to hinder him, we take it out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let more of you come in. More. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus.
More
of you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let you feel him. More of you, Jesus. More of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let the Holy Blood cleanse you in the name of Jesus. Take out anything that is gold. Totally filling. More of you, Jesus. More. More filling. More, Jesus. More of you. More of you, Jesus. More increase of you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. More. More.
Try and copy what I
do. Say amen. Ah, come on. Okay, you want to turn this way? All right. You know what? I can attest to the change in this lady, right, Paula? You and I have a history, don't we? And it wasn't always pretty, was it? And we both repent of that, don't we? Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I just see God in the power of his Spirit in your life. And I know God would say this to you. He's so proud of you. He's proud of you for being clean. He's proud of you because you're seeking him and because you are an important warrior in his army. You love Jesus with all your heart?
I love Jesus with all my heart.
All right. baptize you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Paula, Margaret, thank you, Eagle. Jesus. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Father God, you are so good. God, thank you that you take the stuff that's just not from you. You take it out of us, God, and you make us pure and holy and just right. And God, I just pray that you will be Paula's strength. God, that she will continue in her sobriety. Lord, that she will continue to seek you and to find you. Lord, this is the beginning. And God, we just want to honor you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Clap your hands, all you people, shout with voice of praise. Clap your hands, all you people, shout with voice of praise. Hosanna, shout with voice of triumph. Praise him, praise him, shout with voice of praise. Clap your hands, all you people, shout with voice of praise. Give you his amazing peace. God bless you.